both this goal as well as one of Trevor's goals is up for goal of the week. So jammed in ballots with Trevor's goal, not the goalie goal. It almost sounds like something weird, goalie goal.
Welcome, Sacramento soccer fans, to the State of the Republic podcast. I'm your host, Luis, and thankfully we're recording this episode on a Monday, not on a Sunday, because I lost my voice Saturday night, and everyone who saw the game, especially the people who were there in attendance, know how disappointed I feel like the whole stadium, all except that one section that had a handful of OC fans, was with the referee for giving 5 minutes. And it's the first time that I'm going to say this. I don't think I've ever said this in the podcast, but I can't believe that the referee gave so much time. And I'm normally the one that is asking for more minutes or saying that referees didn't give the appropriate amount of minutes in terms of like not giving 10 minutes instead of 4 minutes. But this was one of those occasions that I just don't understand. And I want to go back and actually watch the whole second half from the beginning to the very end and count how many minutes were actually lost. And I highly doubt I'll even get close to even 4 minutes. And as we all know, the tie came in at about 4 minutes and like 30, 40 seconds. Jared might be able to get us more exact, but I was running my time when I was there, and it looked like it was around that time. But
it's funny because I went to 4:20, exactly 4:20 on behalf of Jared.
It was past 4 minutes, and that's what has us more disappointed. But anyhow, let me go ahead and introduce both of you to tonight's show. Sharon and Jared, first, let's go all the way over to Elk Grove. How's it going, Sharon?
Everything's going good. Everything is fine. It's a good Monday. I'm glad we're recording. Kind of glad we didn't record last night because I was reveling in the U.S. Women's National Team first Gold Cup win, first Gold Cup period for women. And their, you know, the inaugural win was the USA scored by their captain, and it was just like Lindsay Horan was just a beast out there, and I really enjoyed watching that and then watching the after show. So it was like, I'm kind of glad your voice was gone and that we didn't record last night. Jared, how are you?
I'm doing good. Just still a little cheesed off from Saturday and how that ended, but we'll kind of cover. But other than that, you know, it's season finally here, week one's in the books, and we get to talk about the match and also about this upcoming Saturday, St. Patrick's Day weekend match in Miami.
And if only you can go, Jared. You know, I know you are a resident away fan that travels to games, and you've been to Florida a few times already. That I feel like Miami could be another stop, right? It just sucks it's so early on in the season.
I mean, hell, we could fly into Orlando and take a Brightline down to Miami. You know, that new train they have. So, oh, well, maybe next season.
Yeah. Oh, you can't forget some public subs too, right? That's why I thought you'd be a little tempted, you know, knowing that it's Florida, public subs. I'm sure they have a Miami sub of sorts, and you know.
Yeah, they do have an Inter Miami sub, but I figured get a couple subs, maybe one or two cafecitos, you know, we'll do the thing.
Now I wonder if that sub has so much in it that it can get your hands messy.
Oh, good God, that's a good one. That is killer. I wasn't expecting that out of left field. Luis, applause.
Be sure and tip your servers, folks.
Well, we have a tip jar for the podcast, you know, so that could happen. But let's go ahead and get into Colossal Gratitude, Sharon.
Jesus.
And I know you're gonna introduce this without laughing. I don't know how you do it, but You always introduce Colossals of Gratitude without laughing, so go right to it.
Hey, everybody. It's time for Colossals of Gratitude, where we take a minute and sound off our gratitude for something that's happened in our lives or something about soccer. It's an open field. Colossals of Gratitude. Here we go. But I have to laugh before going into it because I'm still thinking about what we just talked about. Okay. And, you know, of course, it deviated to food, and that was not anybody's fault but yours, Luis. So, you know, my first thank you goes to you for making a funny in the very first part of the podcast. So if anybody caught that, you know, send us a note and we'll give you something. I don't know, a sticker. Nobody came to Section 105 for stickers. But anyhow, my first Galazzo of gratitude goes out to Michael Donato. He is kind of like the overarching, kind of in charge of a lot of the ticket aspects. I don't know his exact title. All I know is that if there's anything weird going on with you know, tickets and seating and arrangements, he's the man. He hangs out quite a bit over in the VIP area to make sure things are running well. And he was fabulous. He had a chance to chat with Bridget and Ted and myself about possibly grouping together for a different table reserve down on the lower level west side. And he was so good. He was so thorough. He introduced us to his new right-hand person that's going to be managing all the catering and all of the overseeing of VIP. Her name is Nicole. What a fresh face. Thank you, Michael, for bringing Nicole in. And I heard that was a little bit of a Scott Moak connection. You know, I always really appreciate Scott Moak. But Connor Sutton, you know, if we're talking game, go losses of gratitude to getting the team, getting this first game of the season, official game of the season, kicked off with a full house sellout. Of course, my little row had a few extra seats. Tina, next time, come join us. You know, it was a good day. Sunday was a great day. Went to a birthday party that was the most odd. I'll post it on my store, on my feed, but it was probably the most memorable birthday party I'd ever been to. And it was a cleanup organized along the American River. Massive cleanup, massive amounts of trash pulled out. It was just an amazing time. I am so sore today because it's a lot of work lifting and twisting for 3 hours and whatever. But all of that said, I'm good. Jared?
All right. Well, I definitely got a few glasses of gratitude here. I mean, first of all, from what I've heard, big glasses of gratitude go out to the security folks over at Heart Health Park. They've, for the season kickoff is a little bit of a hubbub with some out of town supporters. I mean, not all of them, thankfully, but you know, a little something different out of sorts. But looks like everything was kept calm for the most part. Also, glasses of gratitude go out to the team shop for another kit that I had gotten. I had gotten last year's home kit, and at first I was told that they were missing particular letters, so I couldn't get my lettering initially, stating that, you know, they could either do it in white lettering, but I was kind of set on the silver. But they later went out to the first team and they were able to get the additional letters a few days later, and I was able to get my other new kit. So I've got the dark red, which, because of the silver lettering, I nickname it the CK McClatchy or Montreal Machine jersey, because the Old Glory red and silver look. So thank you very much to the team shop for that. And also big glasses of gratitude goes out to my local QT, the Quick Trip at gas station, for keeping me caffeinated, hydrated, just keeping my brain straight, not only for work, but also preparing for Republic FC matches. So that's going to be my go-to for a good while there. Of course, also to the chat, you know, given the fact that even though the game was getting intense, you know, we all kept afloat, you know, with the game, with some bit of information, everything like that, just like we usually do each game of the season. Luis, what do you got?
All right, so I got a few right here. First one goes out to KCRA3, because, and I'll be sharing this on our socials, but as my girlfriend and I were entering the stadium, we were actually approached by a KCRA3 reporter, which I wish I remember her name. If I get her name, I'll mention it in the next podcast. But she basically asked us a few questions, and they ended up only airing about, I think it was like 20 seconds of something that I said. But it was just really awesome to be able to have that opportunity to talk about the team and encourage other people who maybe have never been to a game, or maybe someone who hasn't been to a game in years, to come back and check out and see what the atmosphere is like. So that was really awesome. And it was my first time speaking on TV, so that was a really great opportunity, and one that, like, I'll never forget. Also, of course, to the other news networks like CBS, Fox, because they also had people there and they also did their recaps and all that. really enjoying all the coverage that the news networks are doing. And I hope it's not just for the home opener. I hope they keep doing this throughout the season, because that's the way that we get the word out there and get more people to come to the stadium. And speaking of people, another one out to all the fans who came out to the game. It was a sold out game. And even though, yes, there were a few empty seats, like in 105, as Sharon mentioned, there were some. Those belonged actually to season members. So technically, it was a sold out game, even though some of the seats belonging to some of the members weren't able to be filled by someone. So shout out to everyone. And hopefully we keep that going game by game, be as loud as y'all were on the last game throughout the season as well, not just for the home opener game, because we want to make sure we bring that same high-pitched atmosphere that we've had in previous years. Also, to Coach Briggs for actually turning around to Section 105 and having us all be a little more louder, which I think towards the end we were a little nervous. I think he ended up doing this after we had scored the 2-1, but that was really awesome. I don't know, Sharon, if you saw that moment, but Coach turned around, and I've never seen Coach turn around to the section and actually tell us to be louder.
That was the second time. He did it once to us last season, because Stephen Ali, who was our former soccer administrator, you know, team administrator, he used to do it all the time when we were getting snoozy and sleepy and chattery, just, you know, friendly chatter, but not focused on the game. So he did it once last season and it worked. And then the minute he did it, Luis, we saw it, and my sister just elbowed me and she goes, "Did you see Coach? He turned around and told us." And we didn't stop after that. We just kept the beat going. We were banging our heels on the, we were loud.
Oh, right? Yeah.
We were louder than pretty much all the sections, because we saw his, you know, need for speed from us. It was like, you know, get rowdy, get loud. And we were banging on the seats and making it loud after that. So yeah, no, that was so cool. That was like one of the really cool elements. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, and I'm really glad he did that, because not a lot of coaches really do those kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. Or are really so invested with the fans. But for him to do that, it felt like we were on the pitch and he was giving us direction, right? Because he was giving us direction technically, right?
So it's like,
if Coach is telling us, we better not make Coach mad. Otherwise, I don't know, he might not have a start, or he might move us the other side of the stadium, not close to the bench.
No, he's benching us. He'll bench us if we don't keep it up. You know, who knows? Maybe we'll hear what he, maybe we can get Connor Sutton music to when he does an interview with Coach this week or next, you know, to say, ask Coach how he feels about Section 105 getting sleepy on him and then him having to wake us up. But last year, you know, Deitch Denny, the other coach, occasionally would step up and do it, you know. And see, it's so funny because the assistant coaches and the new team admin, they're not quite ready to interact with all of us, because, you know, it's like they don't know us yet, you know, and we don't know them, but we've got to get to know them. We've got to get those assistant coaches in under our wing, and they need to take us in under their wing so that we can feel comfortable, and they can feel comfortable yelling at us, you know, to cheer louder and do all that, waiting for it. And maybe we can get one of them to do one of the, well, they won't be doing "We're Soccer Fans" reels, but those were fabulous. Appreciate everybody who participated, because there were some people, Scott Walker, who participated, and we'll get more people involved with that. If you want to be involved, let us know.
Yeah, then that's actually the other goal also, gratitude I had is to everyone who interacted with those two so far publications that we've done on Instagram with the "We're Soccer Fans," and we're kind of getting onto them and making them a little series, getting some people at the stadium involved as well, some fans. So if you have an idea, if you have something that you'd want to say in terms of "We're Soccer Fans," just maybe, again, keep it PG, nothing like too crazy out there, then please, you know, find us at the stadium, send us a DM, and we're more than happy to include you in one, because those are really funny and people really enjoyed watching the clips. We got a ton of people liking them, viewing them. I think the first one passed 2,000 views. The other one is like getting there to 2,000. And it's just really cool to be able to do these relatable things that a lot of you, I'm sure, have experienced one point or another as a soccer fan too. And yes, we know it's called football as well. There was someone that wanted to remind us on both of the posts, but you know, we got to We got to call it here soccer just so more people know what we're talking about. But trust me, yeah, I agree with you. Football is the right terminology.
We'll do a Spanish-only version with Luis, and he'll coach us. Like, he'll give me a script, and I'll say it, and I may not know exactly what I'm saying, but that would be funny if you make people, we do a Spanish version, you get to write the script.
Well, that's a good idea. We're going to make it happen. You mentioned it, yeah.
I'm sorry.
That or we could do like some of the Hong Kong action movies. Like, it could look like I'm speaking, but it'll be Luis's voice in Spanish.
Oh my God.
That actually sounds even funnier. Yeah. I think we're going to do that. Yeah.
You guys, you're killing it.
But yeah.
Oh, that would be good. Luis's voice with my mouth moving, that would be great.
Now, the question is, should I actually like change my tone of voice depending on the person?
Try your soprano. Try saying something in Spanish in a high little voice.
In a high little voice?
Yeah, like a high voice, like a female voice. Just a little.
I have to think about that.
Yeah, yo soy un.
Somos fanáticos del fútbol. Y miren, tengo un cuarto lleno de bufandas. Okay. I mean, something like that.
Yeah, there you go.
I was kind of doing a little part of what you said in the other one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess we could probably do that as well. Just make sure when you guys enunciate things that I can actually pick up so I could try and match it as much as I can.
We would just have our mouths moving like we were saying something in English. And
I thought you guys would be reading it and I would just mute you and put my voice. Okay. Yeah,
we would be openly, it'll look like we're openly talking, but without any sound from our mouth. The dialogue would be replaced with what Luis says, basically.
And so we could be saying anything. We could be saying, I'm going to go get a cup of black coffee right now, blah, blah, blah. And then you're just talking. Your voice is in the background.
Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. I'll do that. And again, I'll change my tone for you and Jared. So we'll see.
Jared, you're going to have to send him a clip of what you mean, what it looks like, you know, the film. Yeah. That'll be good.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah. We had a little diversion. It goes from food to, you know, filmmaking. It's like, can we get to the game? Because there's things to talk about. There's Trevor and Jared and the Jared squad.
Oh yeah, the Council of Jareds that is making a presence, right? Goalkeeper getting a start. We do miss Danny. I hope Danny's coming back soon. I hope they give us an update of when he'll be returning because it's
a lot of pressure. Bench, so that means he was game fit. If they put him on the bench, he's ready.
Okay. Well, yeah. It'd be interesting to know why the switch there. I mean, not that, you know, Jared's not capable of being there. But, you know, when you got a goalkeeper that got the golden glove, I don't know. I would feel like you should have him be there, or we would have kept Carlos, right? If the second goalkeeper is going to get that opportunity, but
Jared's going to give Danny a run for the money. We know that. We're seeing that happen. That's good competition. Then nobody's resting on their laurels, you know.
Oh yeah. I mean, more competition, the better. Yeah, hopefully, again, just Danny winning that Golden Glove last year. I feel like he could continue to move by that path, but anyhow, yeah, the game, we know how it ended, 2-2. Before we get into talking about the goals, though, I do want to say, and before I get to complain about, you know, the referee and all the different things that he did, we had a lot of missed opportunities. I think that getting to that point where we were just one goal up in those last few minutes, we could have been two goals up. Heck, we could have been four goals up.
Yep.
Because I could recall there was a missed opportunity by Trevor. He could have had a hat trick in this game easily. He had that one. Roro, he had another one as well. If you guys remember the one, he barely shot it. And I think he may have had some pressure from the defenders. Maybe he wasn't in the right position to really like give it a powerful kick, but still it was right there, right? He would have just given a classic Roro shot. That would have been a goal easily. And I believe Dami had another one
yes
as well.
Yes.
And then a few like above the net shots, right? Or above the post shots that I think we need to practice a little more our shooting and practice and try at least to shoot at goal for some of those.
Yes. And one of the crosses that skittered in front of a couple of our guys and just piddled out on the far side, you know, where there wasn't anybody jumping on. Anyhow. Yeah, there's a few things. Yes. Well, you know what? First game of the season, things to work on. You don't want to be perfect right out the gate. You know, you've got to be able to have steps in front of you to, you know, work on. So, yeah. So here we go. What Luis is doing for us right now is we're going back and we are reviewing the highlights, the game highlights. So Luis is going to be pulling up the first goal, I believe.
Yeah, first goal by Trevor, right? I mean, right away, right off the bat, he knew what he had to do. We know that Russell was out because of red card that we weren't aware of, but I guess in that last playoff game, after the game, things got a bit rowdy there, and referee ended up giving him the red, which when I found out about that, I mean, this was like after we recorded the last podcast, I was a little disappointed the fact that, hey, it was post game. I know we were all mad and all, but to get a red card after, it's like, oh, you could have been there, but all good, right? Trevor stepped up to the opportunity. Otherwise, I feel like he maybe would have been the bench, potentially, is what I think. But he got the two goals, and if I was Russell watching the game, I would make sure I continue to step it up, right? Because Trevor's going to give him good competition. Now, they both could probably play easily, right, in a game. It depends on what formation the coach is using. In the event that he has to pick one or the other, it's nice that we have a good backup, right?
Well, it's not a backup. He's not a backup. I think Trevor's got the starting position. When you score two goals against OC that normally has our number at our stadiums, and you score two goals by yourself, well, not by yourself. I mean, it was a team effort, granted. This dude, somebody else is going to be sitting, and it isn't going to be Trevor.
Oh, no, I mean that, you know, it's good that we have a good backup in Russell. Right? I mean, he got two goals,
Russell,
already.
Not listen to that part. That should be edited out, man.
It was Luis that said it, not me, not
it
Sharon.
Luis said that. Luis said that.
So here's the thing, right? Like you mentioned, he scored a brace.
It's not easy. Oh, he's trying to dig himself out. And... is there a bigger shovel? Get that shovel. Get the shovel.
Go. But no, it's good that you have two guys that are super competitive, that know how to score goals, right? Because how long have we gone? Like, how long has it been since we've been able to say that, hey, there's two guys up front that they could score goals, right? Typically, it's been one guy, right? Oh, he's the goal scorer. The rest of the team has scored a few there. But now we have two guys, like, you know, that have that. And I'm glad he got a brace. Hat trick could have happened, like I mentioned earlier. This is his first goal, right? 28th minute. Cristian Parano gets the ball, which also Cristian had a good game. I think he's leveled up from last season and what we saw of him. And But here with an assist, right? I think the last assist, I might be wrong, but I think the last one he got was in that goal that we saw our now former Luther score, right? Which that was a really good assist to that goal.
Yes,
but
it was.
It was nice seeing him again. Do essentially the same thing, right? Time it perfectly. He saw Trevor making the run to the middle there. And then Trevor, I mean, he slightly jumped to it, headers the ball. I mean, it was stronger than a shot, right? I mean, that, what a way to header the ball and show us that he could jump and he knows where to header the balls at. What do you guys think of his first goal with us?
Fabulous. Yeah. You know, to open his scoring book with that kind of a goal and to get in front of it. So the dude's tall. Okay. So he's in the right spot to do these sorts of things, and he's fast and he's got sure feet, and his timing is incredible. So yeah, he's everything that Mark said and everything that has been written about him is that he really has a nose for the goal. He just figures out how to score. He just knows. You could tell it's an innate skill and a hunger that he has. And he's not going to get all in his head and worried about anything like that. He's like I think he's going to be like this little machine that's going to look for every little opportunity. And this was that. He's not gonna screw us up. We're gonna be seeing this a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah, Jared, there's a reason.
You watched it on TV, so you got a chance to see the replays over and over.
I mean, there's a reason Trevor's gotten so many accolades for his days playing in USL League One. So the fact that he basically immediately translated into the big game with the USL Championship with not one but two goals against Orange County. I mean, just imagine with him and Russell Cicerone, you know, both get on the pitch at the same time, they're going to be terrors. I could easily say Russell may have some in-house competition for Golden Boot this season. I mean, especially when you have goals like this. I mean, just please, plenty more of these, please.
Yeah, like both guys, Sim and Russell, they know how to score not just any goal, but like golazos, right? Like goal of the week candidates too, right? And like first week and he's already a candidate for that, and hopefully he takes it. I know they're trying to get the goalkeeper goal against us to like also be in it. Come on, you can't compare them. I know it's a goalkeeper scoring a goal, whatever, right? But the way
that
this
goalkeeper
happened,
shouldn't have even been on the field. Luis, you were the one who said that the goalkeeper shouldn't have even been on the field. You and Jared.
I totally agree
on that.
we'll talk a little bit more about that here shortly too, but yeah, I mean, Trevor, He's a proven goal scorer, I think, over the last year or two, because he came to us from Northern Colorado Hailstorm, and he was a part of that Hailstorm team that had a little bit of a cup run. If you guys remember when we made it to the final that year, it was them and Omaha, right, that were like making League One stand out, and they ultimately ended up having to battle it out to see who moved on from there. So it's good to see that he came from a competitive team, right, that has made a name for themselves and actually beat an MLS team, if I'm not mistaken, right? I think they beat the Rapids in that Open Cup. So he scored 28 goals in 57 games with them. So yeah, I mean, he's opening up his score count here with us already and just showing everyone why he deserved to make the move from League One to a championship there and all that. And hey, perhaps beyond two, right? But maybe, you know, I don't want to speak too early, but it's just nice when you're able to get two goals, because we've had sometimes some guys that we've signed that I don't think they ever even scored a goal, right? I'm thinking Frankie Lopez, did he ever even score a goal with us? I don't even think he ever did. But, you know, regardless, there's been guys who haven't had their first goal and have been forwards that have had to wait so many matches, right? And here he is, first game scoring two goals. So great signing by the team already.
Yeah, and he wasn't even nervous. You know, it's like the dude stepped on the field and it was just like, yeah, it's my job. He did not show nerves whatsoever, not even in the warmups, nothing. It's just, you know, he goes into a different zone. Now, be that as it may, I did happen to see Russell partway through, and I don't remember if it was halftime or when I was walking by, but I did see Russell, and he was watching the game intently. It's like he did not want to be bothered. He did not want people to say hi to him. He just wanted to just keep his eyes focused on the match. And, you know, he was in his own little bubble watching and studying this match. He was, you know, it was almost like fuming that he wasn't out there, which shows you the competitor that he is inside, that to sit that. And I think all I said to him was, hey, sorry, man. And then just kept walking. And I didn't even get a grumble out of him hardly. And he was intently watching the match. Good. Because he's going to be breaking down also the plays, like what we are analyzing. He's doing it already from a whole different perspective, you know, from what he thinks he can contribute and what could be fine tuned from his teammates. Cause, you know, he expects a lot of his teammates.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, he kind of earned the red card on his own, right? So I'm sure he was mad at himself, right? Being like,
yes,
but why did I do that? Right? Like, it only affects you the next match and
yeah,
the home opener, and so it's a little challenging there. But hey, Trevor again stepped up to it and, you know, did the task, right? He basically played Russell's role, because Russell has scored braces before with us, right? So he knew what he had to do. But moving on to the goal that we get scored against us again, happening here in the first half, towards, you know, almost the end of the first half. It was in the 42nd minute, and it always hurts when you get scored on like so close to halftime, right? When you feel like you're going to be up in a scoreline at halftime. And then this happens, and it just drastically changes that halftime talk, I'm sure, by a lot. But it was a weird kind of goal, right? Because corner kick happens. The guy who ends up getting to the ball ends up trying to do like a little back heel goal of sorts, or back heel shot, which was so close to going in. And I mean, props to Jared for actually doing a really good stop. And in fact, the stop that hits the crossbar. It just sucks that the ball was right there and Roro did all he could to try and get it. Reality is the OC player was closer to it and he just dived into it and he got the goal, right? I mean, what can you really say about this, right? It's one of those like quick plays that happens that, I mean, who would expect a back heel like shot to have that much like strength, right? Like those normally go out of bounds.
Well, in English Premier League and some of the other matches that I've been watching over the past week and a half, the back heel has come in incredibly handy. Even in MLS, the back heel, some guys are pretty accurate about that. And so we're seeing the next wave of skills come through soccer, come through, you know, finally. And so, I mean, if I could do it, I would, you know. So I think that, I mean, it was sad to see it scored against us. You know, the knockdown, they always say, follow the knockdown, follow the shot, follow the knockdown rebound. And they did, and they capitalized one guy. Yeah.
Well, people must be growing fingers on both sides of their feet now, I guess.
Oh, you're funny.
Right? I think I've seen what you've mentioned, Sharon, throughout like other leagues and, you know, different players trying to do more like back heel things, yeah. Right? More than even just pass the ball. And
yeah,
I mean, that is really skillful for any player to be able to do that, because there's times when that's all you could really do, right? Just as the case was here, right? Because the guy couldn't really control it either way, right? He just did the back heel and it just worked out to his favor. And yeah, it's a difficult one. I don't think anyone on the team really is to blame, at least in my opinion, for this one in particular. Yep. And I can't really say the same for any other like goals we've gotten scored against through corner kicks, right? But this is like one of the weirdest corner kick goals against that I've ever seen.
Yep, definitely.
So that was that. That was, again, halftime. We were 1-1. But moving on to the second half in what was another Trevor goal. Again, here's where the brace happened. Yeah. He showed us his speed. Right. And also in the first goal, I mean, we saw him, and like you mentioned, Sharon, that timing was correct there. But I got to say, I mean, before he shot, I was just shouting like, Trevor, like, shoot. And a part of me was like, we're probably going to get a corner kick out of this. I mean, if you look at the replay, if you look before he shoots, the angle is like not the best one to shoot. But normally you get corner kicks out of that. Yep. So I was like, eh, we can get a corner kick. But I mean, he knew where to put it, and he put it where the goalkeeper would never stop it because it was so quick. And we got a golazo, which I know the other one is nominated for Goal of the Week, but I would have probably nominated this one.
Sharp angle.
What'd you guys think?
Sharp angle. I didn't even know that we scored because the angle was so sharp. It was like, oh, that, and then everything erupts. And it's like, oh, we got it. Because they're usually on a sharp angle like that, you're right. It's a corner kick, or it'll hit the side netting, or it'll be more like a cross. But to actually have it become a goal, like, I was shocked. I was almost like in delayed reaction mode until, because it was right by Tower Bridge Battalion, when they erupted, they knew what it was. But if you think about it, though, the keeper might have been a little blinded by the player, the defender, the OC defender. Mm-hmm. Because he was taking a stance that blocked the view of the keeper. So it's hard. It would have been really hard to see that thing come off, but it was a bullet. That thing was a bullet when it came off of Trevor's left foot. I mean, lefty, like it.
Yeah, that was definitely an amazing angle. I mean, it kind of reminds me of one of the crosses that we had a few years ago. And the name escapes me at the moment, and I blame work for this. But no, I mean, this is a beautiful angle. I mean, you have got to be precise if you're getting it that tight of an angle. I mean, it could be difficult enough just going straight head on, or maybe a less difficult angle. But I mean, we're watching a replay on this. I mean, if it was any tighter, he probably would have been on the sideline trying to chip one in, like in Aussie Rules football. But Trevor, I mean, he just has the right touch on it. I mean, this is something that in the past we've had other players try. Once in a while it works. A lot of the times it just goes sailing forth, but he was just able to pin this precisely. I mean, it's just a beautiful work of art here with this kind of goal.
So, Luis, one of the things that I've noticed with Trevor, which isn't always the case with some players, is he can work the ball with both feet. Just watching this close up, I was watching his skills for his right foot, left foot. And not everybody, you know, they have a favorite foot that they might dribble with, or they have a favorite foot, you know, that they shoot with. But I think we've got something different with this kid. He's not a kid. He's a man. His skill dribbling, even with the right foot, and, you know, giving a touch. And I don't know. I think this is like one of the best signings that we've had in a while, besides Russell, when we brought in Russell last year, and, you know, et cetera. So.
Oh, yeah. No, shout out to the team. They have a knife for signing players, especially players from League One, right? Yeah. Dami came from League One. You guys remember that? Yeah. Yep. So it's definitely really good. And this is why I say it's really great that the USL established a League One and a League Two, because it really does help players with that development. And players that stand out just keep moving up, right? Because teams above are like looking down, seeing what's there, and, you know, signing them too. So, I mean, I would say Trevor is a product of that establishment of all the different leagues that they did. Otherwise, they would have never maybe found out about him, right? Because League One is also broadcasted, right? It's all a package deal with the broadcast rights. So, and even Golazo Network is like now showing one League One game, right? So it's just really awesome to see so much coverage there. And again, it only helps these players get to be known by other teams. So there we have it. And then before we get to, okay, there we go. Here's my rant. Before we get to that, what happened really annoyed us there at the end of the match. Referee decides to give 5 minutes of extra time, which I don't know if you guys also noticed it, but in the first half, referee gave 3 minutes of extra time, which was crazy, right? Normally, first halves, you don't see that much, unless, of course, there's an injury, all that, I get it. Typically, it's a minute. Most referees tend to do that, even though sometimes not even a whole minute is lost, but I get it. There could be more arguments for a minute. But ever since he did that, I had a feeling that in the second half, we would be seeing the same thing happen. If he gave 3 minutes for a half that really didn't waste anything at all, we'd probably be seeing at least double that. But it was close to it, not 6 minutes, but still, the referee did it again. So I wish we could talk to this guy and ask him what he considers extra time, right? Throughout the game, what is he considered as a lost time, right? Is it when the goalkeeper's walking to get the ball? Is it when a player is getting ready to get subbed in, and even when the player is walking in and before he like blows the whistle, what is he looking at? Because whatever he's counting isn't something that would constitute an actual like extra minute. I don't know what it is, but it just doesn't seem right at all. And again, you can go back. I'm sure I really want to do this. I really want to go back on just to prove a point. And I'm sure, you know, in USL, they could do the same, but you can't just hand out minutes like, I don't know, you're giving out freebies at a game, right? Like, we're giving out stickers any game, which again, you get your free sticker if you go to a game. But that's what it seemed like he was doing here. And that corner kick that happens that ultimately leads to their goalkeeper getting the goal, it actually happened at about 94 and a half minute. Because I actually had my time. I always do this every time I'm at a game because, as we all know, those of us who are at the stadium, the clock stops at the 90th minute. And I still don't know the exact reason why that's done. I only speculate it's just to not anger fans if they go over the time. But I was just asked at the game, so I'm going to do my research to find out what's the whole deal about that, right? Because when you're watching on TV, it's fine, but this isn't something that only happens at our stadium. This happens like everywhere. So just want to find out a little bit more about that and if I'm right in that matter. But in any case, this happened beyond the 4th minute mark. Game should have only had 3 minutes, maybe four, and even four is pushing it too much. But had he only given 4 minutes of extra time, this game ends. And this game would have actually ended in a play that Sharon and Jared were talking about offline. Yeah, it wasn't me. I know Sharon mentioned it was Jared and me. But Sharon, you want to talk to everyone about what happened right before the goal was scored, about a minute and a half before, that could have changed the outcome of that last play?
So there was a situation in the box down at Orange County, and the keeper there did a vicious foul, and I think it was after a stoppage, but it was like the play was almost already dead, and there was a foul on I believe it was Trevor, and it sent him tumbling, and that dude does not flop. So, and it looked nasty and egregious. It looked like a red card foul, to be honest with you. Maybe it wasn't before the play was stopped, but I think it might have been in play. And Jared, you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong here. But to make a long story short, it was a nasty little foul. We'd have to rewatch the second half and you know, really dissect it, because they don't show it in the highlights, which they should have, because it was nasty. And it earned the keeper only a yellow. So here's the deal. If that keeper had received the proper caution, which I think was straight red, most of us in the stands said that was straight red because of just how vicious it was. There was no intent for the ball. And anyhow, if he had received straight red, chances are the whistle would have been blown shortly after, because it was like in the 3 minute 80. I don't know. It's like it was just before the whistle should have been blown. But no. So he still stays on the field. If he wasn't on the field, if they were out of subs, so they would have had to put a field player in goal, which would have changed the dynamic for the final goal that was scored against us. Take it away. Or Jared, add on.
Yeah, I remember watching this play envelop. Ultimately, we had the ball and we thought it might have been whistled dead. But ends up the Orange County goalkeeper, I'm not sure if he was trying to be cute or whatever, but he did end up kicking one of our players. And from what I saw of it, yeah, that was definitely a red card. I mean, if it was accidental, probably would have been a slower pace, or he probably wouldn't have fallen over for the yellow. But no, this is definitely a red for the Orange County keeper. And yes, just like Sharon said, had the referees actually did the right thing and give the appropriate card, we would be talking OC short a player, maybe a couple minutes left in the game, hopefully Republic FC parking the bus, and then we would be parting with 3 points. But unfortunately, that did not happen here. So this is only the third goalkeeper in USL Championship history that's gotten a goal like this. But always, well, I'll only put it a little bit nicer, we somehow end up getting in situations that nobody wants to be in. Take you back to a few years ago when Oklahoma City Energy was playing. There was that somersault or cartwheel throw-in that was put into play by Oklahoma City that ends up scoring against us. This goal that kind of goes up there in WTF moments against us. But yeah.
WTF moments, and I love it. Yeah. Feel that.
And I will say, both this goal as well as one of Trevor's goals is up for goal of the week. So jammed in ballots with Trevor's goal, not the goalie goal. Almost sounds like something weird, goalie goal.
That does sound like something weird if you think about it for a while.
It's a tongue twister, right? Try saying that 5 times real quick.
I don't want to say it because it was against us and I hate it.
Yeah, no, but that goal that Jared mentions, and I know it was against us, I don't think anyone can argue that that wasn't the best goal we've ever had against us. Right? And if you guys don't remember that one, yeah, you can go back and watch it. I know it was against us. I mean, I had to take my jersey off and say that that goal should have been like goal of the year. I don't know if it ended up winning it or not, but I mean, it was crazy how it happened. Just like it happened to us, but still, I mean, they It was quite the goal. So now let's look at this play, which again had what Sharon and Jared mentioned earlier about the goalkeeper happened. I don't think this happens, right? I mean, again, the goalkeeper is the one who gets the goal. And just consider, right, that anytime this happens, we know that goalkeepers usually go up front for corner kicks, you know, when you're in these situations and all that. But I mean, the opposition has advantage over you in these situations, right? And goalkeepers are sometimes marked, right? Sometimes not, because a lot of teams think, oh, it's a goalie, they can't even really shoot, right? I mean, which most really can't, right? I mean, that's not their job to, you know, do the goals too, right? But once in a while, they'll get lucky and actually get a perfect cross, which is exactly what happened here. There's been other times where I've seen these situations happen and it doesn't lead to goal, right? They end up like headering it really bad and you're like, again, they're a goalkeeper, right? But in this situation, I mean, there was no one really marking him at all. He just had a clear opportunity. And I don't know, again, if the guys thought it's the goalkeeper, we're probably good. But I mean, if we look at the other replay, which I like the other angle better, the last replay that they would show you when you look at the highlights, you can actually see, yeah, the goalkeeper was just right there walking around. All the players were more focused on other guys there. And they didn't realize the goalkeeper's right there, right? Shane Wheat didn't realize goalkeeper's behind me. But again, if you go mark the goalkeeper, you're going to leave a guy unmarked. So it's a difficult situation, right? Because technically, it's almost like the other team has more players than you do for a quick second there, right? Since your goalkeeper's just focused on trying to stop the ball, whereas they got 11 guys that are focused on trying to get the goal, right? Storming in. So inevitably, you're going to have one guy open.
Swivel heads. Nobody had their head on a swivel. And you have to have your head on a swivel. Yeah, the ball's coming in. The ball's being flighted in. But you have to. Remember, Matt Mahoney was like one of the better swivel heads. Mm-hmm. You've got to check. You see the ball coming in, but you got to take a quick look to see motion of what the players are doing behind you. And on top of that, there were guys behind that could have shouted out. Like, I think, I don't know if that's Lee Desmond. I can't tell. Oh, no, it's Luis Felipe. He should have been hollering out to the guys that were in front of him. And Nick Ross was behind the play. Luis was watching the play develop. He's doing a swivel head, but he's nowhere near anybody to tell them what to change, you know, and Jared Timmer gets in there a little bit too late. He sees the run of the keeper, but you know, it's funny because people in the stands were asking me, you know, so who was supposed to cover the keeper? You know, who was supposed to protect that corner, you know, or that side of the goal? And all of our players ran for the ball, you know, where it was going to land versus, you know, there's stuff to protect the net and there's stuff to catch the flight of the ball and mark the player. So it was just different. You know, the whole thing made me sad, put it that way.
Yeah. No, those last minute goals, whether it's the goalkeeper scoring against you or whoever, they always hurt for sure, especially when you're there at the stadium and, you know, you got those 3 points already like in the bag. And before you know it, those 3 points go down to just 1 point in a matter of a few seconds, right? And it was tough for sure being there, especially after what we witnessed in playoffs and all that. And some people were kind of mentioning that again, right? It's like, oh, deja vu, right? Happening. I think it was Jane that mentioned something. I think she said deja vu after the game. And I was like, yeah, it feels that way, right? It wasn't a loss like the Phoenix game, but still, it's one of those things that still hits you and you end up leaving the stadium, which I left the stadium a bit angry because of the ref, because of what had happened. But like as I mentioned earlier, I mean, the team is also at fault for all those missed opportunities that I had mentioned and a few others that we didn't directly mention there.
But, well, we could have put the nail in the coffin of the win and we didn't get a chance to, you know, finish up and score more goals. You know, we were not Brazil. We'll put it that way.
Oh, yeah. Not in this game. We've been Brazil in other, you know, games in the past.
We just score more than the other team. But yeah, no, not.
Yeah. Him. Especially, you know, in the Open Cup in that first round, another Open Cups, right? Like I'm thinking a Timbers 2.
Yeah.
That one time in our league as well. But one more thing I want to mention about this game is the substitutions that were done. Kind of wanted coach to do subs a little bit earlier, and I know I'm getting all back into that like sub thing that I've mentioned in the past with Coach and all that. I mean, thankfully he didn't wait till the 70th minute to have those first subs. First subs came in like the 62th minute, but or the 62nd minute. But one thing is that I wanted him to sub out Rafa much earlier than he did, because Aldair was subbed in his position, and Aldair, I think, should be the starter. I was really impressed by the few minutes that he had once he got subbed in. Rafa, I just don't know, Sharon, Jared. Like, he's been with us a few years, and I'm just not, like, pleased by what I'm seeing on the pitch with him. And I think other players deserve more than he does, at least, in my opinion, to start.
That's funny, because I actually saw some of the magic that Rafa was doing, where he intercepted the ball a lot in the position, in the role he was playing. He intercepted the ball quite a bit, and he restarted plays. So I was seeing that, and I was seeing some of his passing was pretty sharp. And, you know, he's only going to get better the more time he sees on the pitch. But, you know, Aldair brings the outside, you know, back position, and they pushed Dami up a little higher when Aldair came in. You know, Dami got to step up a little bit before Dami was subbed out. But yeah, you know, Coach has a lot of options out there, you know, to choose from. And it's tough. I mean, he even has a couple guys even on the bench that, you know, weren't out there. Not even on the bench, but I mean, like in the stands. He had more players available, but this is what he had. I thought Ricketts, you know, I like him. I like his speed. I like his sensibility. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, Luis Felipe, I was expecting more from him. The few minutes that he was on the pitch, I didn't really see the same Luis Felipe. I hope he goes back to his level that we've seen him in the past. But
remember how long it took Lee Desmond to get his touch back? Mm-hmm. And we didn't even get to see full Roro, even though he came back last season. We didn't see full Roro. Now we are. You know, so it's like, I think Luis Felipe just needed to have touches on the ball and be pressured into not ball watching and actually joining the game and working on his reflexes and his responses, because that was one of the things we were missing from Lee Desmond last year, was his quick response or reactivity. He didn't have it back. And, you know, Roro couldn't, you know, because he wasn't fully mm-hmm. Roro, but now he is. So, you know, we just got to give Luis a little bit more. He's not going to be, he's not going to be sharp the way we knew him for a while.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He needs a minute. Yeah.
And it's always good when we've known players to be at a higher level, right? Because that only means that they can get back there. It's just, like you said, yeah, it might take a little bit more time there, but I'm glad you mentioned Roro. It's a really good sign when you see him play so much time, right? Because in the last season, there were games where he got subbed in early on, and like in the match too. And then this one, I mean, he played 90 minutes, basically. I mean, he got subbed out in like the 92nd minute for Shane Wheat. I mean, yeah, he basically played a full game right off the bat. And, you know, even in the second half, he still looked like he was in fit, you know, in fit level. And it makes me happy to see that, right? Because last season, we know how it ended. We know that last game he played was probably like one of the worst games he's had in a long time. And I don't know. I was a little worried that he would retire that way, and that wouldn't have been the best way for him to like retire. But glad he's given us another year. No idea if he'll actually retire this year or if he'll give us more years. Hopefully he can give us as many years as as he can, because, you know, we can't get enough of our legend out on the pitch. But yeah, I got to give him a big round of applause, because he was participating throughout the game and, you know, making runs, putting pressure up front and all that. And for a guy that has gone through so many injuries in the last year to be doing that now, it shows his commitment, right? To like being fit, to overcoming his obstacles that he had last season, and just show us that, hey, age is just a number, right? So there we have it. But that's how the game ended, 2-2. We get a tie. I guess positive thing is at least we didn't lose the match, because I think it always hurts even more if like the game is tied and you end up losing, at the last minute, right? Like, you get no points at all. But before we move on to anything else, got to move on to podcast winner dinner, even though Sharon does not want to talk about this.
Yeah, I'm just going to go do some dishes, you know, something a little less painful.
And Jared had to look closely to see if he was actually in second for the first time here.
I think I'm just going to go clean toilets. I think that's a little less painful, you know. This sucks. Because I knew what it was as we were unfolding the game, because Luis, during the game, sent us a version of the spreadsheet. And we're like, oh, I looked at it and I was like, oh, man, this sucks. Anyhow, not that it's anybody's fault. I made these picks, but still.
Yeah, I know that you were thinking that you picked OC for the first yellow too. And
I know.
But I was like, I am pretty sure I was the only one that had faith that they would be getting the first yellow. And sure enough, I pulled the spreadsheet while we're at the game just to let you know, like, yeah, that's what it says on there. And no, I didn't edit at all, because there's an edit history here. So,
oh my God, we're soccer fans. Of course, we have a spreadsheet of stats.
Hey, maybe Rian could probably say that one too, since he has a spreadsheet of stats, which we're going to be having him on a future episode. He wasn't able to join us tonight here, but if y'all remember an episode that we did, I believe it was last season with him, he is the stats guy. He's also developed a spreadsheet, but his isn't like predictions. It's actually like things that have happened throughout the year. So we're going to have him on here so he can share more about that and maybe even share the spreadsheet more with everyone. I know he shared it on the group, but we'll share it on our socials there so y'all could see that, what he has going on there. But in our predictions last week, I got 2 points. Jared got 1 point. So my 2 points came from having Trevor be my backup scorer, because I thought Russell would be playing. I didn't know that he had a red card. So that was my backup scorer. And I said first yellow card for OC. And then Jared actually had faith in Trevor scoring first. He gets the point. And again, Sharon didn't get a point there. And of course, none of us guessed a 2-2 tie. For just a few seconds, I was so close to actually getting 3 points. So I know you guys dislike the, you know, goalkeeper so much for getting that goal at the last minute, but I dislike him even more because I could have actually got 3 points in one game. I don't even know if that's ever happened in the history of this competition, but I was so close. I was seconds away. And so now maybe you guys can understand why I was even more pissed off at the ref. Not only did my team lose the points, but I lost points too. Everyone lost points. It hurt me. It was a personal thing, Sharon. That's why I was so mad at the end.
I know you really wanted you're so competitive. You really want that tape dispenser soccer thing back.
I want it back. Yeah. I didn't even get the chance to like actually use it as a tape dispenser too. I just had it as a trophy, but you know, when I win it again, I plan on actually using it as a tape dispenser again. So,
yeah.
So watch out. I'm back there, but who knows? Jared, I think is going to give us competition this year. I think Jared, there's going to be out there. Might be making its way to you, Jared. I think if each one of us might get a trophy this year. That might happen.
I doubt it. I'm probably just going to be in the basement again, but we'll see. It's only the first week down and many more to go.
Well, let's look at our predictions for the next game. We're playing against Miami FC again at Miami. And I got to mention it again because this was mentioned last season, but we were playing against Miami FC of USL Championship. That's not the team that Messi, Suarez, Busquets, Alba play in. That is Inter Miami, who play in MLS. So there's a whole different Miami. So when giving predictions, when talking to other people, don't think that's the team. Again, not to say that they don't have a strong team, though. They could, because they actually got a win against Colorado Springs, which we know Colorado, they got a good team typically, right? Our good old Colorado Republic, which I think they're not as Republic this year. I think they parted ways with our players there. But they did beat them 2-0. Again, it was at Miami, but still not an easy team to play against. So that's what we're playing.
Colorado still has three of our guys. They still have three of our players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I would say if there's any team that's copying the Republic this year, it's got to be Las Vegas with all the signings that they have. I mean, they have Hayden Sarges. They've got Emre Clementa. probably one other player as well. But yeah, I mean, that I will say one thing, and I know it's kind of going off topic here, but Las Vegas Lights, they are finally getting serious. Well, I mean, with the exception of signing Handball Wizard, but yeah, and what we're doing right now is we're having a look at the present roster for Colorado Springs. So we do have Matt Mahoney. They still have Duke Lacroix.
Oh yeah,
and Duke's Malik Foster.
Oh okay.
Yeah, so
only one guy left.
Only
let
go one.
Oh okay. Yeah. I was thinking there's more than one. Yeah,
Skundrich is the only one, and he's been already gone a while. So
Drew left to Loudon. Is it Loudon?
Yeah, Loudon. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Okay. So that's where he. Okay.
Here we go again with the inability to say Loudon. We'll say anything else but Loudon.
We are going to be playing against them soon too, but yeah, you know they're.
You get to practice. Maybe,
yeah, that's going to make a comeback there, but yeah, well, there you go. I guess it is still Colorado Republic then, and so top team then. I mean, they have some of our guys there, and then those players were pretty competitive too, right? When they were with us, so not an easy team that we're going to be playing against in this second game of the season. But let's go ahead and give our predictions in this first away game, and I'll actually start it off this time. I think it's not going to be an easy game. I'm actually going to go with the 2-2 tie because, again, it's the travel is quite a bit. Right, those of us who have traveled from Sacramento to anywhere in Florida know that it takes a toll on you. And I don't know if they're going to have a direct flight there, if they're going to have any like place that they have to stop at before. But regardless, it's still a long flight, and it still takes hours of your day and getting adjusted and the climate, not to mention the humid conditions, which, you know, we weren't even playing and it takes a toll on us. But that's what I think is a 2-2 there. First goal, I'm going to give the chance to Trevor again because he proved with the brace. I think he's just going to keep going at it. If for some reason he doesn't make the trip, then Russell will get my backup scorer. I know I'm continuing on the trend, right, of having a great backup to Trevor, but sorry, Russell. Again, nothing personal. I'm just really glad Trevor scored the brace. And, you know, he's the guy right now that's in form, right? First assist, I think, is going to come from Roro. First yellow card, I think, will actually go to us this time. So there you have it. Jared,
well,
what do you think?
Well, I'm almost identical to you, except for the score line.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think we're going to be pissed off. Yeah, so I'm predicting a 2-1 win. Again, Trevor as my primary. Russell is my backup if Trevor doesn't see the pitch. And I've got Nick as my assist. And Sacramento as the yellow.
Okay. All right, Jared.
Yeah, I'm going to say Sacramento 2-1. I'm going to flip the goal scores. I'm going to say Russell comes in pissed. You know, after serving that one-game suspension, he's going to raise holy hell in all of Miami on Saturday night. And then Trevor ends up being the backup goal for assist. I'm going to go with Jack Gurr.
Ooh.
And then Miami somehow draws the first yellow.
Ooh, okay. Well, so it's going to be interesting. There will be points served here, well, because we each predicted different yellows, but yeah.
Yep.
We'll see who starts, right? Whether Trevor, Russell, maybe both. But coach, if you're listening now, there's a lot of points on the line, and whoever you decide to start could give away some points in this match, you know? So choose wisely.
Yeah,
and exactly. And pick the guy who scored the brace to start. You know, I think he earned his place. Russell might need to like win his place by scoring a goal coming off from the bench, but
they can't listen to this and they can't kowtow and they can't even admit that they care because that would be considered maybe offhand betting or aiding somebody who was, even though it's just a contest, whatever.
Oh yeah, we take it seriously, even though there's just a dinner on the line. Which, Sharon, we're going to be paying for your dinner sometime soon. So start picking the spot, what you want to order already. And heck, if you want to go there now. And
We're going to Makuni. We're going right back to Makuni. We're going to Makuni. That's that.
Perfect.
We'll figure a day or a time. Definitely not before a game because I don't want to eat twice, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we'll make it happen. and we'll go back there too, which, by the way, if any of you didn't know, that's where I got my winter dinner paid off. So that's like the spot. It's almost like they should be a sponsor of the contest at this point. And
yeah, I know. Well, I'll tell you, if Jared does make a trip, if we do end up all together in Monterey in June, I don't know what the likelihood of that will be, but then my dinner price will go up because we're going to the sandbar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good spot right there.
That was yummy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If anyone's going out to that game, it's on June 8th is the date of that game, which...
Monterey in June. Yeah. It's becoming to be a fixture now.
Yeah.
Perfect time, right? That's when it gets really hot over here. And if they had to choose a day for those games, choose the dates when it's really hot and we don't want to be in those conditions, because that's what happened last time, right? If you guys recall.
How it was hot here and cold different. There. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, there was even fog at night, right? It was 100 degrees over here with us and there's fog at night. It's just crazy. But we'll see if that can happen. There's a chance that I wouldn't be able to go there. I might be out of the country on that day. So
what?
Yeah. But when they visit Sacramento, I'll be able to go though. It's overnight. So yeah, well, we'll see. If not, I'm sure Jared will go to another game in Sacramento at some point, right?
I'm trying. I mean, these next couple months or so, I mean, like I've mentioned before, it's going to be busy as hell. But I definitely want to try to at least get to some other road matches, you know, ones I haven't done before. I mean, I'm looking at Tulsa, looking at San Antonio, maybe even Memphis. But as far as getting to Sacramento, I mean, I want to get back to a home match. I just don't know when it's going to be.
Stay for a match in July.
I'm hoping so.
Yeah, that's the good match. So you could really make the most out of the whole day there at the venue already. But cool. Well, there we have it. We're going to be following that spreadsheet closely on Saturday, taking a look at it throughout the match. And I'm sure on our group chat, we're going to be excited if one of us gets a point right away, just as I was when I got my first 2 points and I had to let Sharon know right away, because I was glad that I got 2 points there and I didn't start bad. So I got a brace of my own too in this first round.
We're soccer fans. Yep. Of course we dislike losing in a little private contest.
And that's why we say ref, you suck, right? Because sometimes the referee can impact our personal lives. Yeah. Directly.
It's funny because I know that Mark has to talk to the players and basically say, you know, the ref is playing both sides. You know, he's a referee for both sides. You just got to shake it off. You can't dwell on it. We can, but the players can't. They've got to put everything mm-hmm. behind them and have the memory of a duck and just like move on and get going for, you know, this big trip coming up in Miami this weekend. Now, going over some of the standings and who's first in the West after just a single match, it's bunched up in the middle. There was a bunch of ties in the Western Conference. So I don't know if you wanted to pull up the quick standings. On the Eastern Conference, it was a little bit similar, where there were, I think, four teams, you know, at the top of the table. But we sometimes will talk a little bit about standings overall in the championship. So,
I know there's one particular game that Jared is really happy about that happened also on Saturday, and
not only for myself, but not only happy for myself, but also happy for our friend Kaylor with hammering down his Legion top the defending champions here in Phoenix 1-0. So that's got both the smile on my face, as I'm sure, as well as Kaylor's as well. So always good to see Phoenix take the L.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah.
It's nice for us that we got at least 2 goals. You know, unfortunately, San Antonio and the shitstorm that follows them with a certain player, you know, ended up having a situation there. But let's see here. You know, Tulsa's right in there. So, like I said, we're kind of clogged up in the middle. There's a few teams that got ties and only a handful of teams that got wins. 3 teams got wins. Memphis, Oakland Roots, and New Mexico, which is nice to see New Mexico doing well, because that's where our old buddy. Whoa, there goes his name right out my head.
Joaquin Rivas.
Thank you. Our buddy Joaquin plays for them and we like him. But then, you know, hopefully we can bounce back and come to the top of the table this weekend. Because we're not used to not being in the top one or two.
Oh, yeah. No, but we're not used to that. Definitely. Yeah, we want to get back to that place we're supposed to be at, and we deserve to be at again, too, I think, for another season here. But San Antonio, that team that you mentioned, I mean, tied 2-2 at home against the not really strong. I mean, who knows? They might prove me wrong this season, but the team that I always mispronounce, Laudon. I had to make a comeback there again. But a 2-2 tie, right, against them. And it's not easy, right, to get a point out of San Antonio. So I don't know what kind of season they're going to have this year there. Yeah. And then also the Lights, right? We thought we were going to see a different Lights. And right off the bat, boom, they start losing 2-1. Even though it looked like, right? I mean, they had changes and all that, but...
I mean, Memphis in first. Who had that on their bingo card? Nope. I certainly didn't.
Nope.
Yeah. Let alone in the West, right? It's like, what's Memphis doing in the West? Like, it's a stretch.
Given the fact that we've had two clubs fold, you know, they got to reshuffle the deck. And that's why Tulsa and Memphis are out West. And Memphis just... Yeah, they pulled a 2-1 win over the Las Vegas Lights. I mean, I do think that this year the Lights are going to do a lot better than the basement this year with all the big names that they've signed and the an owner that's actually serious about the club, you know, Jose Bautista, formerly of the Toronto Blue Jays. So I'm getting my fingers crossed, and I'm thinking with this progress that Las Vegas Lights has, you're going to see the return of the supporter groups, you know, seeing Electric Company and Luz y Fuerez to come back. So that's going to be an interesting match come July.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, hopefully they do better. I think, you know, their fan base deserves to have some like wins, right? And actually like make it to playoffs as well. And Las Vegas, I mean, we all know what it is too. And plenty of people would enjoy traveling there for an away match, especially come playoff time. So yeah, hopefully they can get to that, and we could see some more extravagant promotions like the helicopter dropping. What was it? I don't even $1 million or whatever that was.
It wasn't a million dollars. I mean, they were lucky to get cash going as well. I mean, given the fact that they had that FAA complaint, so they ended up having to use a Toyota truck and use shirt cannons to shoot out cash. But even then, that was a big old cluster. I mean. Mm-hmm. Men trampling women, adults trampling kids just for a handful of dollars and change and whatnot. So I think they're going to move on from that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime you mention free cash, like that's a recipe for disaster. But I don't know. You know, I don't know what they do. That's almost like they have their own rules. So we'll see what kind of like little out of, you know, this world promotions they do this year. But one good thing, though, looking at the stat leaders is that we have the leading goal scorer. As again, this is just the first round, of course, right? But Trevor is leading the goal scorer. So if the season ended today, he would get the golden boot. There we go.
I like that.
So there you have it. We're going to keep an eye, as we always do every week, at the standings, see how they change, see anything that surprises us. Those are some of the results that I think stood out to us, too. So we'll take a look at the games for the following week, which is actually going to be this week. So there's going to be some midweek games on the 13th, this Wednesday. Monterey Bay, who actually didn't play in this first round, is actually going to be playing against El Paso, traveling out there. Rhode Island is another one that actually didn't play either in this first round. They're going to be playing against New Mexico United, and we're going to be playing against Rhode Island here pretty soon in the season as well.
This weekend, when we play against the Miami FC, remember, it's an away match, so it's going to start early. We're looking at a 4 p.m. kickoff time, and this weekend it's going to be on the Fox 40 group of sources, as well as ESPN Plus, because the CBS Sports Galazzo lineup for Saturday is already rolled out. The next time we're on Galazzo is going to be March 30th, I believe, towards the end of this month when we play against Memphis. But as far as this weekend, you know, prepare your Fox 40 apps, antenna TV, you know, just whatever you can.
Yeah, and that's funny. The West team, Memphis, is going to be playing at 1 p.m. on Saturday. That might be the earliest that a team in the West has ever played a game on a Saturday. Again, I'm poking fun at the whole Memphis in the West thing, but still, I get it. They're trying to, like, balance things out. But still, I think whenever I visit, I've never gotten the chance to visit Tennessee. I'm going to be telling people, like, I'm in the West Coast. And if anyone looks at me like, what's this guy on? Or what, I'm going to be like, I don't know, ask USL. They're the ones who, like, apparently said that Tennessee is in the West now. So, I'm only blaming them. Well, as well as Tulsa, too. But,
that's pretty much a good wrap of what's going on. And you guys have done wonderful again. Are we doing any USL Unsolved Mysteries this season, Jared, or are we waiting for something to be unsolved?
Well, I don't know. There's bound to be some stories here and there. Some of the ones that I've spotted have been not necessarily USL related, but other leagues, you know, other development leagues, especially coming from the Bay Area. But I'll see what I can dig up as far as USL goes. And I'm sure there's a few here and there, but the season's young. We'll find something to talk about as far as unsolved mysteries.
I mean, what could have been like, why did the referee give 5 minutes? Not to dwell on it again, but still.
Not letting go.
That's the biggest mystery of the season.
Going to hang on to that one all season long.
Because I might be one that point at the end of the season. Imagine if one of you wins by 1 point, or it's a tie, and then we have to split up the dinner, and then I'm blaming the referee. Like, because of you, I couldn't get a full course meal.
Killing me. Boy. Super competitive.
Any last final parting words here before we say goodnight and not see you on Saturday, but be in front of your TV or your phone watching the game at 4 p.m. on Saturday?
SacSoccerPod.com for everything of your fan base podcast, and leave us a message. Michael, I'm expecting you to come up with one of our reels, a little vignette for our reels of we're soccer fans, because we talked about it. So if you're listening, make sure you do that, because we want to hear from everybody. Go Republic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Saturday's match against Miami. You know, brew up the cafecitos, you know, get a Cubano or a Medianoche sandwich ready. And hopefully I don't have to do another off-brand we're soccer fans again this weekend. And go Republic.
As for me, you know, it's going to be a long flight for the team going to Florida, and I hope that, you know, they get enough rest, that they're ready for that match, and that we bring the 3 points back, because we got to go back up in the table. And we did good last season in away games, and I hope we keep that going on as well. And now they don't have Joaquin Rivas, so that should be a bonus for us, that we don't have to play against our former player who was pretty good for them. I don't even know why they got, you know, let him go. That was a big loss for them. But I hope everyone has a good morning or good night whenever you might be listening to us. And you'll hear us next week here on State of the Republic podcast.
Cue the music.
For me, I just hope that the referees start compensating the right amount of minutes, not just for Sac Republic games, but for all the games, right? Oh, are you good?
Sharon, I'm hearing some thuds here. I mean, numerous thuds of that dead horse getting beaten.
Oh, really? Okay. Let me redo that one.
No, we can be done with all of that. We just
We're done. It's finito.
We're done.